Blog Talk Radio. Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, as we come to you tonight on this March 26, 2012, right here in Kansas City. We do our thing, and as you know, we get into 2-7 and all that here, but we got some guests that's going to be coming on right now in a few minutes, and we're going to introduce them to you. These authors are fantastic, phenomenal people, and they do their thing, and they're going to get you to answer the questions that you need to ask them. So if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word 60 Radio, and we're going to go ahead and see if we can get them right now. So we're going to start out with Samantha. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing just well. Glad to have you on the show, and we're always happy to have great new people on here. So, we definitely want to have you on, and we got some questions for you too. So, and we also want to check and see if Miss Omega is here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm here.
I was wondering if you were there, because I know I seen the number. I just want to make sure it was you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm here. It's me. Hi.
Okay, well, you know, we always do that on time, thing. We know that history you got, so we'll just leave it at that. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to give these few ladies a chance to tell the audience who you are and give a little background of you, and then we're going to go from there and get into your books. And we'll start with Samantha. So go ahead, Samantha, Miss Joyner. Tell us about yourself and about your how you got into the literary game.
Well, I've been writing since I've been 18, so it's a little over some years here, over 25 years. And I started out with this book a long time ago, The Woman Cheater, but never published it. And then a lot of people were like, you need to publish that book because you have so many men out here talking about the game, but women won't admit to the game. So,
you just started something. You know, now I'm going to tell you right now on Word Sexy Radio, before you go any further, this show is considered what they call anything goes on this show. So if you have to say what the fuck you want to, you just go ahead and say what you got to say because we cuss here and it's okay and it won't get bleeped out. So do your thing.
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Are you still there?
I am. This is Omega, but I just keep hearing bad connection.
Okay, so, all right. So is it still bad right now?
No, it's okay now.
Okay, so, Samantha, did you hear what I said? Okay, she must have got cut off because I still see her there, but we'll come back to her. So, Omega, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
So what you been up to lately? Because we haven't talked in a while. Tell us about what's going on with you. Let everybody know who you are and how you got into the game.
Okay. Well, I'm Omega Keys. I started out writing in high school but didn't publish my first book until 2006. And I wrote three erotic fiction novels back-to-back. Then I switched it up a little bit and wrote some young adult novels. And then I decided to jump way out the box and put my memoirs out there, which is Rise and Fall of a Track Star and then Single Black and Government Owned, which is due to release very soon. I just have the advanced copies now, but I'm like really excited about these because it brings everything together for why I did start writing the erotica first.
Okay, so you want to kind of explain? Which book do you want to talk about first?
Which one you want to go with?
Well, you know, I mean, the latest ones you just done. You said you just did. I know you got the three erotic fiction books, and then you said you did your memoir. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the memoirs, I actually address, you know, a secret that I have held on to for some years. The first book, Rise and Fall of a Track Star, while I was excelling in a track career because, I mean, I ran in the Pan Am Games, qualified for the Olympics and all that stuff, but while I was doing that, I was overcoming being a victim of sexual assault, which resulted in me having a child.
Right. Okay.
And so, yeah, you know, I'm trying to deal with all that in that book until I just got to the point where I just couldn't take it no more. I had to walk away from it because I didn't feel like I deserved all the good stuff that was happening to me. Because how can all these good things happen to you when something bad happens to you? And it's not like, you know, how can that happen? But, you know, when you're a child, you're looking at things through child eyes and trying to rationalize it. But then in Single Black and Government Owned, it's dealing with that but taking it being a single mother while in the military,
right,
and trying to balance the two, and when you're carrying extra baggage from being a victim of sexual assault and never addressing the issue, how do you handle that in relationships? Like, if you don't know how to deal with a relationship, how are you going to function?
Right. And so a long time sounds like you blamed yourself for what happened to you and until you realize it wasn't your fault and you were able to move forward. Is that the case?
I think for a long time, I just tried to act like it didn't happen and
right.
just held on to a lot of anger and everything. I didn't actually process it because it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I even realized, oh, my God, I was a victim. Because
right.
I never related myself to any other woman that this has happened to. And
so,
when I was finally able to do that, it was like, oh.
Right. So, and probably in most cases, and I'm not saying this in your case, but in most cases, it's usually someone you know or someone that's close to your family or a family member. Was that the case for you?
Well, I was molested by an uncle when I was little, and then when I was in high school, it was by somebody that I did know that lived in the neighborhood.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you was able to recover from that because you know, going through something like that and then to turn around and write erotica, that had to be something that you really had to get yourself through because, I mean, you know, the sexual experience that you had prior to writing those books could have took you to a level where you couldn't express yourself because, you know, writing erotica, you have to be able to be in tune with your sexual side and be able to explain and be able to, you know, to come to that. So how did you work through that?
Well, it was easy for me to write the erotica because basically after the rape happened, I flipped it into the mold that I was so scared that if a guy liked me, I was so scared that I would be raped again that it was just easier for me to just get it over with here. Just take what you want and leave me alone. I was very young, and then you know when I kind of snapped about that, I was like, okay, well then. I will use men, you know, to get what I need from them. Not anything, not materialistic things, but just that power over them. That's
right.
What I felt like, you know, that was my power. So, I mean, I just went in the complete opposite direction. I didn't, like, repress my sexual side. I, like, dove head first in it.
Well, that's good, because a lot of people, like I said,
I got a lot comfortable with myself, though, through that.
Right. Because, you know, a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people get would suppress or take it in a different way. So that's why it's interesting that your story, it didn't go in that direction. So I'm kind of glad that it didn't because, you know, you have some great books out there and they're very heated. And, you know, people need to see that side, whatever reason that got you to that point, you know, it's very good that you were able to exercise that. So hopefully, let me see, Samantha, are you there still? Or I see your number still on my switchboard, but I was just wondering, are you still there? Okay, something's going on with her call. She may have to hang up and call back in. If you hear me, you may have to do that, then I can get you back in. But she was just dropped. Okay, so she'll call back. But anyway, so with the government-owned thing, so how long have you been in the military, and how does that relate to, you know, you getting through what you had to do as far? Are you still in the service?
I've been out for a year now, just recently had my year anniversary from being out, actually. But I did 13 years.
Okay. So did you do it all active, or was it reserve? Or
It was. It's kind of weird to explain, but I went in because I had a child. I had to go into the reserve side first. But what I did was I always was on active duty orders.
Okay, I see.
So I really don't know what the reserve side is too much like. I talk about it a little bit in my book. It was like, you know, I got dropped off at the Twilight Zone.
So it was like AGR type.
Yes.
Kind of like okay. And for those of you who don't know what AGR is, that's a reservist that's on active duty continuously, but they're really in the reserve. So it's for those that are listening. Now let me see for just a second, Omega. Samantha, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yes, I can hear you clear now. You're clearer than you were before.
Okay,
so I was hoping I didn't run you away because of what I said, you know, about the cussing and all that. But the show is open. We do that here. So just making sure that you. Okay, so.
No problem.
So let me give you a chance to go ahead and explain yourself now that you're back.
Okay. I started writing the book, The Woman Cheater, because I've dealt with a lot of women. Being in the hair industry for 25 years, I would hear different stories. And a lot of it had to do with women going through different things that allowed them to be the women they were, such as being abused, being raped, going through dealing with infidelity problems or problems with other men cheating on them. So I started coming up with these characters, and it's the baby mama, the independent woman, the so fierce, the homewrecker, the down low girl, the church girl, and the wifey. And I have a second book coming out April the 1st. Well, not April the 1st, May the 1st. And it talks more in detail of these characters. But in this first book, The Woman Cheater, What She Won't Tell You, I Will, I'm really getting down and telling you what women do. And at
well,
first when
we
the book came,
know, cause
yeah.
We definitely want to know what those are. Y'all be trying to keep that shit to yourself. So, you know, Steve Harvey came out with his bullshit book. No, I ain't gonna say his bullshit. But anyway, he came out with his book talking about what men do and think like a, you know, act like a woman, think like a man,
think
and all
like
that.
A
I mean, why not get a let's
and,
get the woman version? And I know
about,
there is a version.
Right.
I'm sorry.
He don't know anything about a woman. And that's
right.
What got me. Steve Harvey wrote his book, and a couple of other guys wrote their books on what they think women want or what they want to assume that women want, but only a woman knows what she really wants.
Right,
and
right.
So that's why I came out with this book. Michael Basin kind of inspired me. He came out with the book, Why Men Cheat Never Satisfied.
Right,
and when I met
right,
him,
right.
He was like, well, I said, women do a better job at it. And we made a joke about it. I said, I'm writing a book about it. And he said,
you
should.
You write about that because y'all know how to cheat and get away with it and don't change your routine and nothing. And we just
right.
Fuck everything up, men do, because we
right.
Don't know how to act right. We just fuck the shit up. So that's what we do. JB, DB, what do you think about that?
Oh, well, you just going to throw me in the mix, man.
Of course. This is my sidekick, DB Hit. He's here now. We got Amiga on here. Now, Amiga, don't go away because we got you. We're going to get you back in here. So, but DB, go ahead and say your thing, man. Go ahead. What's up?
No, like, when it comes to cheating, I agree. And I say this all the time, and I've said it on many different shows, that, you know, we are victims of, you know, our habits. And men typically have their habits, and women switch up their habits on the fly. So it's easier to pick out a man who's cheating because he's breaking his habits. You know, whereas women,
uh-huh.
If they go shopping for 4 or 5 hours at a time, a man doesn't think anything of it. So, it's,
right.
You know,
and she could be out there fucking everybody.
Right at work. Right. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot. It's not like, you know, women, it's not that women are smarter. It's just simply that men are so, they don't
look for nothing.
We don't, right. We don't look for a woman's routine. Women know our routines down pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know when to
you're
call
predictable.
Us. You should be at home right about now. Yeah.
Right.
You know, we're victims of
exactly.
Our own habits.
Well, before we go any further, let me see if this caller has anything to say. The area code is 317. Do you have anything you want to say? State where you're calling from? Okay, I think they're just listening. All right, well, we'll just keep going. So, Amiga, what do you think about that? Because we want to get you involved in this. I know we were talking about you and the situation you were in, and we're going to come back to that. But what do you think about that? Are the men just stupid when it comes to cheating? They just don't know what the hell they're doing or what? What do you think about that?
I just think that sometimes their egos get too big and they just be like, well, you know, I know I got it on lock, so they ain't doing nothing. That's what I think.
Well,
you know,
line,
some dudes.
Yeah, that's another component. Because men have to brag. They have to let another man know, you know, that they didn't do some dirt. And the worst part, you know, my philosophy is this: the more people who know, the faster it's gonna get back to you.
A lot of women cheat for reasons. Men cheat because
yeah,
that's the difference.
For women. So a lot of times there's a reason behind why they're cheating. It could be a revenge or it could be whatever reason that they do it. But it's not usually,
like
it's things. Not always the case they just want to be with somebody else. But there
right.
are some cases where that is, though, right?
Well, sometimes I have a part in my book that's called the exit strategy. Normally when a woman is tired and getting ready to move on, she's going to find something else to replace you or going to get involved with someone to replace what you're giving her. And she's not going to just bail out and it's easy like that. See, men will have 3 or 4 around and they like, I can go to this one, I can go to that one. A woman, she's going to have a main person there that she can get with when she's ready to exit that person. And I call that the exit strategy a lot of times. Now, you do have some women that I really say is It's called the bad girl syndrome. And the bad girl syndrome is a woman who just a straight up hoe. She just want to sleep with men because she like it. And it's normally a woman that has been raped or went through something, mentally abused as a child or something, that made her say, you know what, I'm now going to go after what I want for what I want, and it's all about me now. And
I'm not trying to cut you off, but that sounds really good. Now, Amiga, I know you kind of mentioned something like that before. I'm not saying that you was in that case, but when you were talking about getting what you want. No, it ain't like that now. It ain't like that.
What she just said is true. I'm not hiding that.
Okay,
that's true. She's talking about me. That was me. That was when I was in my early 20s, and that's when I had lost my mind. She's talking about me. Own it.
Well, goddamn. Okay. Okay. You want to make sure it was your ass then? No, I'm just,
But the thing is, with my book, a lot of women that I run into, they said, that was me, or this is me. And they can relate to one of the characters. And that's one of the biggest things with the bad girls. It's like you've gone through something. I was a bad girl. I wasn't sexually abused, but I was mentally abused. And I got to the point at one point where I said, you know what, it's all about me. And I'm going to get this one for everything I went through.
Man, women can use any reason or excuse they want to. But ultimately it comes down to one thing, opportunity. If they're willing to sleep,
Okay. Same as men.
If you like, man, I need some ass, and ain't no woman trying to sleep with you, guess what? You ain't getting laid. And that's just what it comes down to.
But a woman can get laid.
He ain't getting laid.
But see, the thing women have going for them is there's men always willing to throw dick at them. Always.
Exactly.
From the time they hit puberty to the time they in a casket. There's some dude somewhere is like, hey, want some dick? And that's just what it is.
And you got some that'll do it while they're in the coffin. I'm getting on them damn funeral directions.
Well,
go ahead.
This part here with me. And in my books, in both of my books, I am so tired of women downing black men. They say men ain't no good, men are dogs. So in both of my books, I lift up the black man because you have so many people stereotyping the black man. He's a dog. He's no good. He treated me this way. He treated me that way. But a lot of times, women got to look at what they did to get to that point in that relationship. So we got to stop blaming men for what we're dealing with and start looking at ourselves. And that's what my books are about. We have to look at what we do.
I'm definitely glad to hear that because you are right. There are some that will do that, and they just, you know, they want to find blame or fault in what men do. And a lot of times it's what they've done to get to that point, and they don't look
exactly.
at it. And I agree with you there. That is definitely true.
Yeah, with the
woman, you have to understand, when you meet a man first love was a woman, and that's his mother. He's learned how to love that woman. He's learned how to give her what she wants and look for what she wants. And most men who had good mothers, they know what it takes to please a woman. But the thing is, sometimes we step in and we can mess them up for the next woman.
And does that mean, like, what you like in the case of messing up? In my case, is like blaming the man or putting him in a situation that you was in before, thinking he gonna do what the last man did.
Well, this is an example. That's a good example. Okay. But my example is like you have a man, and when you, like in our 20s, I'm in my late 40s. But like in our 20s, we meet guys and say he can't do nothing for me. You ain't got no money. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. You ain't gonna never be nobody. Putting them down, constantly putting them down instead of lifting them up. And then men, when they finally make it, it's like, you know what? I don't need no skeezers. I don't need no one who is a gold digger. And they put you in that category. Whereas.
Right.
Men have, it take a little longer for men to grow and get to where they want to go sometimes than women.
Right.
So instead of us looking down at him, or he work at McDonald's, or he don't drive a nice car. You know, back in the day, that's how a lot of women still look at that. Not only back in the day, but in my time. Also, you look down on a man because of where he worked, how he dressed, what he did, instead of look at the man himself. And then when that man becomes someone later on, you look at him 10 years later, oh, he's doing well for himself. Well, he don't have time for nothing now.
That situation reminds me of the movie Claudine, to let you know how old I am. You know how, if you've seen that movie, Claudine was messing with the garbage man. And everybody was like, why are you messing with the garbage man? And this man, you know, back then the garbage man was making a lot of money. But, you know, they looked at it because it was a nasty, dirty job, that it wasn't nothing. So, you know, that's the situation that people put people in. And you're right, they're still doing that today by a place where he ain't making this kind of money, he ain't driving this kind of car, he ain't doing that. But You know, you can have all this shit and be the fucked up dude. But then the guy that's trying to make it and do everything, that's trying to be a good man, you ain't looking at him because he, you know, he ain't got the money that you want to have and all these things. So,
and then when he gets ready for someone and he does get his stuff together, and a woman, right woman comes along, he don't see it because he thinks all women is going to treat him the same. So it's his time to play his game and do his thing.
Right.
Well, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because if you believe it's going to happen, when it happens. So you know, you're just like, I told you so, I knew it was going to happen. And it's just an excuse for you to curl into a ball and hide in your shit. Life is life. We're going to deal with pain. We're going to deal with struggle. We're going to deal with rejection. But that is no reason for you to go out and demean somebody or dog somebody, place somebody in the category that they don't belong. And that's, I mean, that just shows immaturity and childishness.
Right.
And I don't
right.
care if you're male or female.
That's a good
point. Definitely agree with you. Yep. And just to let everybody know right now, the chat room is open, so if you got any questions and you don't want to talk online, because you can talk, we're not going to hurt you. But if you don't want to speak on the phone, you can definitely, you know, just speak through chat room and we'll get your questions out there. So if anybody got any, just do that. But we love to talk and we get the questions out and we get these things done. Even though we bring the authors on to talk about their books, it's very interesting to learn other things that they've been through and all that. So Amiga, getting back to you again. Now, you were saying that a lot of this was you and those things that you went through, and you kind of talked a little bit how you coped through that. But what made you open your eyes one day and say, I don't want to be this woman that's out here doing all this shit. I want to now get serious with my life and go forth. What made you decide to do that? How did you get to that?
Say again?
What made you decide that you were tired of being this woman that was out here fucking everybody before, getting what you want out of them, and now you want to get serious?
Okay, I needed you to say that for real and quit playing with me. What
I know that's
change?
Right. Go ahead, girl.
You sugarcoated me. I just had to realize that I wasn't getting anything out of it. It wasn't making me any happier. I was just angry.
Right.
I was just angry.
You said, fuck it. You
don't
know me, fuck me, whatever. Right, okay.
Yeah, I was just angry. I didn't get anything out of it. But to go along with what well, what she said when she
Samantha.
Was saying, yeah, Samantha, I was about to call her Pamela. I didn't mean to. But what Samantha said was that, you know, you can't always blame the man. I recognized a long time ago that it wasn't them. It was me. It was me. I was that common denominator.
You was the problem, but in the beginning you was the problem because you thought you was the fault. So how did you get out of being the fault and then turning into the revenger or whatever? And then getting out of that is what I'm saying.
It actually took somebody to recognize that I had a problem and say something to me. Because before, everybody was like, oh, that's just Omega. That's just how she is, you know, even my family and everybody else. But it took a true friend, my best friend, to actually say, Omega, what the hell is wrong with you?
So they was going around saying, damn, you a hoe and shit, you know,
I was drinking too much, and I was, you know, whatever, but see, I was a fighter, too, so if you would have called me a hoe to my face, you would have got your butt beat down, but, so
well, that's all right.
It, but you know, that's what they were saying
behind
your back.
That was part of that rebellious, knowing what you was doing, so you want to whoop somebody's ass because they were telling you the truth about you, but anyway, go ahead.
You're right. But no, it took a true friend to say, I mean, I'm your girl, but some of the stuff you're doing, you know, you're not about the right.
Yeah.
And you know, but it took to me. She was like the only person who cared to ask me what is wrong. Why are you doing this stuff? Not ooh, you doing this, you doing that, but why are you doing this? And that was my wake up call. That was the first time somebody actually gave a damn about me.
I know that's right. So Samantha, in your books, how does your characters ever come to the realization of what they're doing in some cases, or are they still out there in the open and don't know yet? Is it serious to this or what?
The second book that comes out, May the 1st, Making It Do What It Do, Not My Way.
Right.
And I get
know
more
right.
into the spiritual aspect of it's the second book. A woman has to realize where she has to spiritually get herself together, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And in the second book, I pull out five of the characters, and I get deep into their lives and how they make it do what it do, not their way, but the right way. and how they have to heal. It's a healing process for everyone.
So is it like churched up type, Christian fiction type in there?
Is some of that in there as well? I mean, you can be spiritual and not Holy Ghost. So it gets into
and that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. It's just that it's just that a lot of times when people write Christian fiction, they want to play like it's one thing when it really is something else covered with something else. In other words, let me just be real. A lot of times, and I'm not saying all Christian fiction books are this way, but a lot of them is just erotic fiction covered up with Preacher This or Sister Cucumber and Reverend So-and-so. So, you know, it's just... That's all I'm just saying. I'm just trying to see if that aspect is there.
I have one character like that called the church girl, and the reason why I got deep into the church girl because you got a lot of girls out here playing church up in the church, but they're the biggest whores in the church.
Oh,
it took me. It took me.
Say that again. Can you say that again, please?
I said you have a lot of girls in the church playing church girls, but they're the biggest whores in the church.
And if you're out there listening, you need to recognize. So go ahead.
And I don't believe in playing with God like that. And I talk about this church girl, and a lot of people got on me on the last book, but they really probably going to get into me in this book because this sister here is a woman. She goes to church. She prayed day and night. She Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, but she's sleeping with the deacon and the pastor. And that's a problem for me. So that's why I say when you get into spirituality, I was in the church real heavy. And then I was married to a man that was real heavy in the church. But he was sleeping with several of the women in the church. So I had to get through two marriages to realize what love was, and I had to first learn to love myself. And in the whole book, it basically teaches people and women how to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And that's where we fall short. We in... to so many things, but we're not looking at healing and loving ourselves before we can love someone else.
So, Amiga, did you have to start loving yourself to understand what it was when your girl came to you and told you that the things you were going through was, what are you doing? Did you start learning from that point that it's about you to love yourself and you don't have to put yourself out in that way?
Exactly. And, I mean, I cover that thoroughly in the book. You have to love you first, and that's actually why I'm working on another book that's actually called It's Not You, It's Me, because we need to recognize the problems that we have. We can't love anybody else if we are messed up within ourselves.
Exactly.
That's right.
I just want y'all to know I love watching a woman who loves making love to herself. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and put that out there.
Because you know if she's loving herself good, you know how she's going to treat you.
That's
what men need to look at. If a woman is not taking care of herself, loving herself, then what the hell can she do for you?
Right. I got that. I understand.
But give you some sex. And you can get that anyway. You can go in the bathroom with a magazine and do that for yourself. So.
No, that's one thing that women need to recognize, too.
Right.
You need to learn how to please yourself, too. And quit depending on the man to do it. If he don't know what he's doing, you need to help him know your body, too. Don't be just sitting up there letting somebody bang you out.
Right.
That's right. I'm glad you said that because a lot of times, you know, and since we're going there, I kind of want to bring up the point about how women blame men for the size of their dick and all this, like they chose what dick size they wanted and all this. So can y'all kind of explain that? How are y'all going to blame this motherfucker for having a little-ass dick? And
well,
like he showed, hey, give me this two-inch dick.
My opinion on that is it's not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean for me.
There you go.
I've had some guys small not do a man with all of that there. It's what you work. It's not what you're working with, it's how you're working with.
How you're working it.
And like she was saying, you have to learn to how enjoy yourself sexually and get with that person and be able to be honest. And that's why it's a lot of cheating out here, because people can't be honest and say, look, I like this way. I want this way, because they're so worried about ego or they're worried about hurting someone's feelings. I think you ought to be able to be honest with your partner and let them know what you want, how you want it. And it wouldn't matter about size, because they can make things happen.
Remember, sex is still taboo in our community. So there are people who just don't know how to relate. They don't know how to ask. They don't know how to open their mouth.
Yeah, they don't have communication.
Right. And a lot of that comes from, like you said, this taboo, and a lot of it also comes from a lot of people that, like you said, you talked about church earlier. A lot of times people, you know, that I have to blame, and I'm not, well, I'm a goner to be honest. Sometimes I think the church messes people up because they tell you you can't do certain things when you need to be trying to satisfy your mate or whoever you with. You know, whether it's, you know, and I know I'm not saying go out here and screw with, well, I'm not married, so I ain't going to lie. I'm out here doing my thing. But the thing is you need to stop worrying about, you know, the church be putting over the pulpit sometimes, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it was all created by God. So why are you telling them that they can't do certain things? And then,
well, that's
like
because
said,
people need to read to their own understanding. And that's
the
problem,
right,
too. A lot of people sit there and they know the Bible, but they don't know the Bible because they're reading to their understanding. You have to read for your own understanding.
Right.
To understand
and
what God
know,
allows and what God doesn't allow. And then that's your
right
relationship with him yourself, not with the church. And that's what so many
right
people don't understand. A church is a building. Your church
right
is within you. Your spirituality is within you,
right,
not in a man.
But a lot of people, they do that, though, and it's just terrible. And I'm not trying to dog up churches or anything. Anybody who's in church, that's your thing. That's great. I understand that. But I have God in my life as well. But I just don't think that, like you said, the man that he put in the place that happens to be your pastor should be telling you what you should be doing in your bedroom and all this. And I was in a church a long time ago that people would go to, every time they had an argument or something, they was running to the pastor and telling their business, and he was solving problems and all this in their household, which I think he shouldn't have been involved in a lot of that stuff. But every time something come up, they want to run to this man and tell him, okay, yeah, he's doing this, and he's all up in there. What makes you think that, now, first of all, he's a man, what makes you think that, okay, you're telling him all this stuff, and he might not want to try some of that you're saying or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But you just got to be careful. You know, you don't be going and telling everything. You need to work it out between the both of you, and if y'all praying together, then y'all do that and work it out.
Right,
that's what I think,
right.
You know, but a lot of people, you know, they run and they do whatever. And if that's your thing, then that's your thing. But I'm just saying, you don't
keep
need to be telling all your
business.
Yourself.
Right.
Absolutely.
Work it out through yourself.
I've been through it.
Yep.
And I agree totally with that, because a lot of times I've been in the church real heavy since I was young. I sing in the church. I'm this, I'm that in the church. And I'm still in church. But I had to realize what church was. That was
right,
just being able to get with people and being able to be around other people and being spirituality. But when I realized that wasn't what it was all about, my spirituality is in me. And no one can
right
judge me. When this book first came out, a lot of churches had me come and speak in it until they saw a lot of derogatory stuff in the book. And
well, but it's not derogatory. That's their opinion that it's derogatory.
Right. And then I had a pastor come to me. He got up in front of his church, and he said, look, you don't need to look at the content of the words. You need to see the message.
Right.
And that was deep for me because he was one of those pastors that's very big, and he actually brought me into some other churches, and everything was cool. And I had more sales in the church than I did out here, you know, selling them.
Well, you know why,
else,
right? Because the man that's leading them, or the shepherd, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm,
that was leading them was saying it was okay to do that. So they was able to do it in the open and not feel condemnation behind it. And see, that's the problem. All these people that read the books that we write, because I write erotica as well, people want to read that stuff, but they worried that somebody going to say something, so they hide behind people's doors and they hide and get the book. They don't want anybody to know they're doing it because they think that they're going to be judged on their walk if they're reading this thing.
Well, I mean, I step on a lot
of toes
with
that. That book signing.
Right.
But I tell them, you know, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and your daddy had to have sex in order for you to get here. It's the same thing. And believe me, your
pastor
is having sex, too.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's just like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, my mother's a pastor, so I got real tore up when this book came out. And my grandmother's a missionary of the Holiness Church. So when the book came out, you know, I didn't tell my family anything. I just went ahead and did my thing. And it's like, you the black sheep. You embarrassed everybody. But then one thing my grandmother said at 89 years old, she said, baby, you ain't do nothing but tell the truth.
So do you write under a pseudonym or do you write under your real name?
No, I wrote under my real name. It's just when
okay,
nobody knew what to look for. They didn't know. And my mother had called all her pastor friends. Oh, my daughter booked up on this. She was embarrassed.
Oh, man. You
but
set them
cool
up. You set them up. You set them up.
But at the end of the
day,
okay, a lot of them said, you know what, she told the truth. And a lot of them had me come in their churches. They was like, I have women in the churches dealing with the same thing. We need to talk about it.
Well, you know, that's it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be stopped. I'm not saying that when you talk about it that you got to get in your personal business, but it needs to be talked about
right.
that it's
right.
okay to do these things, that it's not a sin to do all the things that they try to say is a sin. Because I've been in churches where they don't want to let you go, they don't want your kids to go to prom and all kinds of stuff. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the bedroom was really toe up. You know, you're only supposed to get down, you ain't supposed to, you know, only do missionary position or whatever, and you can't do all this and that. I mean, how are you supposed to expect to, you know, I mean, there are some churches that teach that the only time you're supposed to have sex is if you're trying to have a baby and all this. I mean, come
wow.
on now. That's not what it was designed
for. I never heard of that.
Come on now. It wasn't designed for that. I mean,
right.
there's a whole book that they don't want to preach from called The Song of Solomon, and we always talk about this, that was
mm-hmm.
talking about David. Or was it? No, it wasn't David. It was Solomon that was chasing behind this woman that he was trying to screw. That wasn't his wife that he wanted. The whole
mm-hmm.
book is about him going after this woman
mm-hmm.
and her telling him no. So it is a lot of sexual stuff. He's talking about licking this and eating that and doing this and everything. But, you know, they don't preach from that because it's not what they want.
They don't
do.
Break it down like it should be done. If
right.
you read it for yourself,
right.
you see it's a story within itself. But
right.
what I found is you just
sure.
have to learn to lean to your own understanding and you just live your life the right way. And when it comes
right.
down to cheating, I go in and talk about from experience. I've been married a couple of times. I've been through a couple of situations. I knew what I was about. I was a pastor's daughter. I was out there doing my thing. But
yeah.
I had to come to realize all of that didn't matter to me. I was trying to make me happy, you know?
Hey, well, you know something? I understand. I really do. And no judgment because I tell you what, you know, we all just need to live and stop worrying about stuff.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, like you said, the main thing is the walk you have with God, because when you die, it's going to be you anyway. It ain't going to be
that.
That's it. It's going to be
and
you
him.
And him. So the
that's
thing
it.
Is you're going to have to make sure that you are right with him. And
that's
if it's
right.
And if that doesn't mean that you can't have, because God created all these things. I'm not saying go out here and fuck everything you see, but what I'm saying is he knows what you're doing. And a lot of times I've been in situations where I'm saying, to me, it's like he's telling me, go on and do that. Because it even says in Corinthians, I believe, that, you know, Paul was talking about, and I ain't trying to get all scripture and all this on this show, but it does say that it's better to scream with a woman than to spew your seed on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my thing is, in other words, you know, God would rather have you go out here and screw some people than to be just letting the jack off go and let it go. I mean, you got to do that sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that, but the thing is you'd rather you do it in somebody than just
right.
do it on the ground and just let the seed lay, you know what I'm saying, dormant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's okay to jack off, I mean, but the thing is, if you screw on a woman and you ain't married to her, you know, everybody try to say that's wrong, but still, is it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a matter of opinion of the church or what they say, but really,
right.
is it? So, you know.
Right. Well, you
DZ, you being quiet, man. What's up, brother? Right.
Oh, no, I'm listening, you know, because y'all busting out the context of the Bible, so I'm just, you know, learning, because you know what? What other way to learn better than to listen?
Well, I talk
that's
about
right.
one
and,
deep thing that's in my book, and I like to talk about it because this is not known, and I talk about the down low girl. You know, you talk about a lot of women. You got a lot of men or a lot of people talking about the down low brother or the down low man, but you have a lot of down low women going on right now.
That's right.
Like more down low women.
Speak about it. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about the down
low. You know, everybody's woman. Always talking about, they always, like you said, they always talking about this brother who's down low and he ain't really telling the truth and he's sleeping with all these men and being a regular guy and in the public and all that. Let's talk about the woman that's getting away with that. Because, like
well,
I said, it goes back to the cheating and knowing how to cheat well.
Right.
Being accepted in this world where two men, you know, men like to see two women or whatever, as long as they ain't butch. You know, it's okay if it's two women that's sexual and doing it, you know, so, okay, I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead.
Well, when I talk about the download girl, the reason why I talked about it, I had a client years ago that it was really funny because she was married, a beautiful girl, looks like a cover girl model, and this female used to come in with her all the time and bring her to get her hair done and get her, fix her up or whatever, and then they would leave. And over the years, I kind of noticed some things. And then one day her husband came in, and I didn't see the girl anymore. And I asked her, I said, what happened to her friend? And her husband said, what friend? And I was like, okay. And I kind of stepped back off of it. And then she came to me later and told me that was her lover. And her husband didn't know about it, and she wasn't going to leave her husband for her, so they broke up. And I was like, dang, this is really going on out here. You know, you see a lot of women that say they're bisexual. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just saying that shit's great. And to see it on the other side, instead of it ain't the man all the time, it's a woman.
Right.
You know, isn't it great to see that side? Because they never talk about that. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you have a lot of it going on. You have a lot of women say, oh, I'm just bisexual. And a lot of them are holding relationships, holding down a relationship with a man or married to a man with children. But they're sneaking out with women. And you see it all the time. I thought it was amazing to see that as much as it is out here, but nobody talks about it. And I'm like, y'all always dragging
like
men about
it. Society makes
it
look good.
It's more socially acceptable.
Society does make it look like it's good. They make it seem like, okay, like I said, if the two women look good, then it's okay, because men will be like, oh, yeah, we're two women at once. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I can turn her back to a man. But, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
How many of us out there really want to see two dudes going hard at it? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, as a woman,
nobody
I don't want
to
see two
that.
Women going hard at
well,
it
right.
either.
You know, and you're
like, but then the thing is women are supposed to have the softness and this tenderness, and it's so much more accepted than watching two dudes, because there's nothing soft about two erections. You know what I'm saying? And that is what it is. I mean,
well,
I'm
I don't
not
think
saying
two women are getting
as
much out
pretty.
Of each other unless they're using help either. So I just
that's
me personally.
That's what gets me about the two women. They do this thing, and even if they butcher whatever, they still got to strap something on sometimes. So, I mean, what's the deal with that? Is it a
well,
head thing
was,
or what?
I was advised from a lot. I did some research, and I've talked
okay.
to. I have a lot of female friends that are gay. I'm not gay, but that's whatever turns them on. And, you know, they say, you know, nobody can please me as good as a woman. I've tried a man. I've been with a man. But this woman knows what I want because she's a woman.
But is that true, though?
But
I don't think that's true.
That's what a lot of them say, though.
It comes down to attraction.
So what about these women? Okay, we're going to get real deep. Now, what about these women that want to do a man in their ass with a damn dildo? What the fuck is that about?
I have not met that woman.
Yuck. Huh?
I have not met that woman.
I
don't want to meet her either, but there
like
are
that.
Some out there that want to do that. So what is that about?
Because I think they want to degrade some men. Some women do that, degrade men.
Is it about power? That's what
it's
it is,
having
degrading.
Control.
It may be about
control.
Power, but yeah, like I was just about to say that. It's about control.
Mm-hmm.
The more often
what
power,
does that say about the guy that lets a woman do that shit, though? Damn.
Well, you have some men that are submissive to women.
It's
and it's okay at a certain extent. You
wow.
have a lot of men that submit to the women, but to a certain extent, is it okay? Yes. I think it's okay for a man to be submissive and a woman to be submissive together in their relationship, but I don't think it's okay for a man
no
to totally
that.
Be submissive to a woman, because that means to me he's punking out.
I know there are men that are anally sensitive, and they climax because their anus is so sensitive. So there are men who do it simply for the sole reason of enjoyment. You know, they consider themselves not gay, but that's how they climax, because, let's be honest, there are more nerves in, you know, around your booty hole than almost anywhere else in your body.
I don't want nothing up in my ass. I'm
like,
sorry.
You know, but like I'm speaking from a biological.
I don't want no shit up my ass. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But what I'm saying is this. I may not, you know, be all for it, but it's a part of life. It exists. And, you know, I can, you know, it's not even so much as tolerate. It's just like, hey, you know, do what you do. Because if it makes you happy, then so be it.
I'm not judging.
Well,
I'm saying I don't want up my ass. Now, people can do what the fuck they want to do. If they want this shit in their ass or whatever, that's fine. I just don't want it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, they do what they want to do.
But, like, I mean, I have a bunch of gay women friends who are just like, look, you know, I've been with a man, but he comes down to attraction. What are you ultimately attracted to? Who are you ultimately attracted to? You know, we all have our preferences. You know,
but
I'm
do you think
sure
it's fair for them to play both sides? I don't think it's fair either way, man or woman, down low man, down low woman. It's not fair to play both sides in a relationship.
You should either be you should be open about what you are and just do that. Is that what
I
you're saying?
If you're going to be in a relationship, you shouldn't be doing it at all. If you're not going to be in a relationship, be honest with the person and say, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If all parties
give them a choice.
So be,
Right.
I mean, there are people who are in polyamorous relationships, and they find equity in that situation. So I may not agree with it, but I can't dog them if they find some sort of catharsis in it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ultimately, like I said, there are a lot of things in this world that I'm agree
damn
with.
Damn it,
but
I say pick a side and get on it.
I'm kind of that person that, like, if it makes you happy and it's not hurting or killing anybody, go for it.
But
nigga,
you are hurting someone.
Nigga, you being quiet at moment. Look at me being this.
And the person that you're with agrees with it, do you?
Right.
Thank you.
But if they don't know. But if they don't know.
Yeah, but see, if they don't know, then you're cheating at
Then what I say is, do you be happy? I'm trying to be happy for me. I can't worry about what everybody else out there doing.
So you think they should be open with it if they're going to do it? And if that person accepts it, then it's fine. But if they're just doing it behind somebody's back and they don't know about it, then they're cheating them.
And that,
is that what you're saying?
People get hurt
like that.
People get hurt
like that. I agree with that.
Just like with down low brothers, you have a married man out here sleeping with men, bringing back diseases, hurting their children, hurting their spouses. Same as women. They're doing that. They have spouses or they're in a relationship and they're out here doing this. Who are you hurting?
Right, that's true. I agree with that. I mean, if you're going
to
do it,
it comes down to this. If you accept it, you can't complain about it. If that woman accepts the fact that this man is going around sleeping with other men and is coming back to her, and she accepts that, then ultimately that falls down on her.
But see, that's what we're saying.
If he's not open with her and he doesn't tell her these things, then ultimately he's at fault.
That's what she's saying. That's right. That's what she's saying, that it should be in the open if you're going to do it. If they accept it, fine, but... If they're just doing it behind somebody's back, then they're not right, is what she's saying. And
That's what I'm saying.
That. Right.
I'm like, pick a side and get on it or be real with what you're doing.
Right. Wow, that's deep.
So I get into that a lot about in the book because somebody's going to get hurt. In any cheating situation, and I get into that in the second book, Making It Do What It Do, in every cheating situation, someone can get hurt. It can be physically, mentally, or emotionally. You can get hurt. I don't know if you look at statistics of how many people have been killed over cheating.
Right.
It's very hard.
We've probably heard people now that's listening right now because some of them have dropped off, but that's okay. If you got any comments or anything you want to say, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we do that like this all the time on here. And I'm surprised the other two panel members aren't here this evening. We have two women that usually be here, on the show as well, and they're not here tonight. And I'm sure that they would love to have some comments. But we're glad to have you two sexy women on here talking to us. So we want to do that with y'all and just kind of get this thing going because it needs to be talked about. And we're glad about that. So
exactly.
So go ahead, DV. I know you got some more questions because I know you, now that you're deep into this, go ahead, brother.
I know. I'm kind of listening and responding as need be. This is like a free-for-all type of conversation where we're floating floating between cheating and acceptance. So, I mean, ultimately, my feeling is this. It's cheating if the other partner doesn't know. I'm with somebody and I have no idea that they're doing these things, then I can't, I'm not given the choice of accepting it or rejecting it. So, ultimately, that's cheating to me. But if my girl comes to me and she's like, okay, I've been sleeping with this other girl and, you know, behind your back, and I just wanted to tell you because I feel like you should know, now I'm given the option, you know. And once I'm given that option, I feel like, you know, that the decision needs to be made.
Mm-hmm. So what do you make the decision you're going to make? Oh, come on, bring her on in, or what? You want to see what she look like first? What you going to do?
Because, you know, but the thing is, you have to understand, if that other girl's like, I only like girls, then it's like, you know, fail. Can't do that.
Right.
But a down low girl, a down low woman, or a down low man don't want to bring no one in.
But
they want to
like,
keep that a secret for a reason.
Right, because they like the secrets. They like the play and the going behind the back and all that. All
they
that
like
plays
the
a part of it.
You're right.
All that plays
like
a part
butch.
Of it. Ooh, right.
There's a lot of sims out there that like butch women who really look like dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I don't want that in my bedroom. I'm sorry. I'd just be that jerk.
I mean, they don't want to be with you, too. If they look like butch, they don't want to be with you because they're trying to be you. So why would they want to be involved? Yeah.
So, you know. I can punch them in the nuts.
Boy, I tell you. But anyway, yeah. So you know, of course, they don't want you to be there. And I've seen these situations where these women that are like that, they you know, to me, it seemed like the relationship was a little harder because the butcher's trying to make sure you don't convert back to a man. So they got to do these things to watch you harder and all this to make sure, watch the woman harder to make sure she ain't trying to go back with this dude. You know, they got to, you know, I think they do a little bit more watching more than a male, you know, situation. What do you think about that, Samantha?
I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry.
What do you think about a lot of the situations where it's girl-girl and there's a butch girl? And it seems like this, to me that the relationship is a little bit more harder for them to be in because they're making sure that they don't want the girl to go back to men, so they watch a little harder. Do you think that's the case in some?
I think so. I think they the butchy-butch woman, she's trying to be hard, I mean, want to be hard, and keep her from figuring if I'm this way, she's not going to go back to it. She's not going to go back to a man. But it's
right.
Not true because I know a situation, another situation where this girl is butch boy. I mean, you wouldn't know she wasn't a man unless you know, you knew her. And
right.
She like very feminine women. And
right.
She comes off that way, but most of the time these women have left and gone back to another man.
Right.
You know, and that's a problem because she's a friend of mine, but she's gotten hurt. And, you know, she was like, why do women do me like this? And I told her, I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you because you play that butch role, man role, but you can't give them what they can get from a man.
And that's the dick, I'm telling you. And maybe some other things, but what I'm saying. I mean, you know, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I don't understand how those relationships go. I mean, yeah, eating pussy is a good thing. I love to do it. But the thing is I'm sure they get tired of just getting licked.
No.
They don't want to try some other things, just like you get tired of just getting dicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to try some other things as well. So how does that, I mean, I don't see how they get the appetite.
Well, what's wrong with learning variety in your relationship?
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm trying to say.
And I talk about
that,
too. We cheat. A lot of women cheat also is because the lack of intimacy in a relationship or the lack of sex in a relationship.
Right.
You know, so we get tired of some man just want to lay up on us or want us to get on top.
Right, I understand.
You know,
that. And that's
we
what
need
I'm trying
variety
to say.
In order to
right.
keep her satisfied, just like you want variety to keep you satisfied.
Right, I understand. I got you. Trust me, I do. I understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is you know, with not only with the male male female female whatever relationship, you know, I'm just saying that there's a lot of things you got to look at, and like you said, the variety needs to be there. So when you're in just one of those kind of just, I mean, I guess it goes in all kind of directions in that. I mean, I'm just trying to get the full effect of what it is that they're trying to get at it. Is it because of the hurt that they felt with the opposite sex and they felt like, well, look, he hurts you so bad, come on and try this side. And then when you,
you
know.
I think to get your answer, you actually need to talk to somebody that's actually in that situation.
Right.
Right.
Straight.
And I hope somebody will call in.
Somebody
the
that is like that.
Right.
We can't answer that for you.
Right, right. I know, and I'm just talking. I'm just trying to get conversation going. I'm hoping somebody will call in that's in that, and nobody's judging nobody. The number's 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sex Radio. And like I said, we talk to authors, but we talk about everything. So you know, it's nothing wrong. Nobody's judging no one. If you want to call in, or if you want to get on the chat room and talk about this, ask your questions. We're not going to bust you out. We just want to get it done. So that's what we're doing. Okay. So DV, go ahead.
I like how you just throw me out there, huh?
You got to be ready, brother. You can't just be like, script it. Come on now. You got to be ready now. How long you been co-hosting this show?
Man, like
a long damn time. So come on, you supposed to be ready. I tell you what, if you're not ready, I'm going to go ahead and play the intermission song right now, and then after that, come back with some questions because I know you got some, and we're going to give everybody a chance to kind of relax a little bit for just about 4 or 5 minutes for long enough for us to play a song, and then when we come back, we'll get back into our conversation because I like what we're talking about. But right now I'm going to play LaDisa. This song is about coffee, about chocolate, man, so we're going to go ahead and get that in. Even though I ain't chocolate, I'll go ahead and play it. I'm bringing it to you tonight on Word Sexy Radio, and we're doing our thing, so we're going to keep it up and keep it going. All right, we're back now as we were getting into our conversation with Miss Samantha Jordan. Joyner, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call your name wrong, baby. And Omega Keys, we have them both here, and they're authors of, and we're going to let you find out about their books and where to get them. And but the conversation has got so heated about relationships, we always like to do that. You know how we do it on Word Sexy Radio, we do that. So, DV, I know you got now some questions.
Nope, still no questions.
None.
But I appreciate
can't believe you don't have none. Oh, you appreciate the break? Okay. Well, ladies, since we were talking relationships, what else do you all think that men need to know about women, especially Samantha? You've been very, very knowledgeable in that aspect, and Omega as well. What is it that men is missing the mark on the most with women?
I don't think men are really missing the mark. I think they're not paying attention.
Okay.
Basically, I think most men, you just need to pay close attention to a woman. And not expect her to just be that woman like she said earlier. I mean, it said earlier, you know, that I'm home chilling while you doing your thing. Because a lot of times while you out there doing your thing, my thing is while the mouse away, the cat will play. And, you know, I could tell you I'm going to drop the kids off to mama's house and I'm out there selling, meeting with the girls, but I'm doing my thing while you sitting home watching the game because that's what you expect me to do.
Wow.
So you need to be more careful and take a look at what you need to be cautious because a lot of men assume that a woman is not going to do anything because I got that. I got that on lock, like she said, and it's not always that.
So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's right. Go ahead, Nika. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying they need to understand that it's not always about them. Quit getting so wrapped up in it. And, you know, if you truly were in tune and knew each other, you really wouldn't have that problem.
Right. Well, you know, I agree with both of you on that because a lot of times we do think it's all about us and not about them. And that's why I think it's important for men to, like you said, you got to pay more attention to women and make it about them sometimes. And I'm not just talking about in the bed, but I mean just and I think a lot of times when men, when you say that to men, they think you got to kiss the woman's ass. And you ain't got to really be kissing ass, but you just got to make it about them to a point where they understand that they are important and stop making it like, you know, I'm the man and I'm doing all this, blah, blah, blah. You know, do you agree with that or is that
I look at it this way. Treat that woman just like you want her to treat you.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's just the bottom line. If you treat me, my man treat me so good, I go bend over backwards for him. And it took me a lot of men to get to this point, you know. But
really?
He would do it right. It took me a lot of men.
Well, give me an example. Give me an example of something that your man did that you'll bend your ass over for him.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
Let me put it like this. He just took me on a 7-day cruise to Belize and Honduras, and we just got back Saturday. And,
well,
I mean, his
damn
thing is, let's do this. And he makes it
so
all
spontaneousness.
About
so it's about the spontaneous thing that he done just out of nowhere. Okay. Amelia, what's one for you?
That's it.
Which what?
What's an example for you?
Single right now, so let me go back in time.
Well, I am too, so get with me at this show. No, I'm just playing. Okay. Now, all right, so back to Samantha then. So go ahead, Samantha, because you were saying he took you on this cruise to Belize and everything, and that was
and
a spontaneous thing. You didn't know nothing about it, and he did that.
No, I knew about it. But it's once we got there, you know, it's just the spontaneous stuff he was doing. Do this, do that. And that's how he always is. I mean, he's always like that. It's never let's plan something. It's like when I get home, it's like let's do this. Or I've done this.
So what if
you
Friday he might say let's go to Vegas out of the blue and you ready to go, you go.
Well, not Vegas, but yes. most of the time with my work schedule, he's retired and I'm working. So with my work schedule, it's just the little things he'll say let's go do. You know, and
let's go under the damn house and let's fuck. Is that would that work?
If that would turn them on, if it turns them on.
Well, I'm trying to get what you would. You say you bend your back for him because the things that he does are spontaneous. So, you know, I'm just being facetious,
okay,
really.
Like
but you know
what
I'm saying.
You have most women that will go shopping for their men, right?
Right.
Well, my man goes
shopping
for me. Right. And okay. And we do it for, I mean, and that's the type of man he is. He can go and say, oh, I seen something you like today and bring it home, and he knows my taste. Where
right.
A lot of men don't do that because it's like, oh, she might not like it or this, that, and the other.
Exactly,
because like
they
that.
Worried that she's going to reject them. It
but
goes again with
what
GV's
like
been
that.
Saying in the past, what GV always says about rejection.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, but he doesn't
exactly.
think like that. And my thing is, if you have a man that's going out of their way to do something, even if I don't like it, I'm still going to wear it because he went out of his way to do it.
Yeah, but most women,
even if you
don't
like
it.
Okay, that's good.
You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot
most
of women
won't.
Just don't do it.
They won't. They'll complain.
But
that's
the problem, and that's why they need to understand that they need to change some things within themselves, too.
Exactly.
If that's your mate, you're going to do things to please your mate, and quit talking about always what you won't do. You sound like you're talking to your boss right there. I know he didn't. I ain't going to do that. I bet you he won't tell me to do this and do that.
Exactly.
But why are you with him?
But see, the problem I think with women, and the problem I think with women that do that is they worried about somebody going to think they weak and shit. And it ain't even
mm-hmm.
about that. It's just working for each other, like you said, doing spontaneous things or just doing stuff, you know, just to, you know, just
women are competing with other women.
Well, like
that's
I tell a lot of women, I have a lot of girlfriends, and they say, you know, you just got divorced, and you with this person, you rush home from work, you cooking and cleaning, he home all day, he retired. I said, baby, and I do it every day gladly with a smile on my face because there ain't nothing I can want for.
Why
you know,
you gotta, why
I don't
you
have
to be
what,
okay, the problem with that question is this, them asking you why you got to rush home because he retired all day.
Right.
What the hell does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, a lot of females get jealous, too, and you have
you
to
see
be
what
careful.
I'm saying? That's the point. They
yeah,
try to say,
careful.
Well, he ain't doing nothing, so you don't need to do nothing for him because he at home all
yeah,
day.
You don't need to rush out, go out your way. Yeah,
and
that's
right.
what they're trying
and,
to say.
And I don't pay that no attention. I do me.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I know what I'm getting on the other end.
And
see, that's what I'm saying.
Women
and
is not happy with whoever they with or they're single.
Exactly.
So they want you to be in the same boat they're in, the same pity
misery
party
loves company. Misery loves company.
Absolutely.
Man, like, I promise you, I heard the exact same thing at work today. When I'm at work, you know, there's this woman who basically floating on cloud nine. You know, she married, recently married, she happy. You know what I'm saying? And then you got these old heads, or these older women who basically come up to like, you know, why are you so happy? Your man going to cheat on you eventually. Yak, 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 yak. And you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, you know, they can't even let her be happy. They have to tell her all the bad things that may happen because it happened to them that, you know, she should be depressed and upset for the rest of her life for. I'm like, that's bullshit. You know,
right.
If this man treats her well, you know, then let her be happy. Don't tell her about all the things that your dudes did simply because that happened to you. And I hate
that. Well, it goes back to what she said about the misery loves company. So they got to have something because they don't want you to be happy because they are.
And it goes back to someone said earlier.
Out of good relationships. Don't let somebody else ruin your relationship.
Right. Goes back to what
right.
you said the other day. Keep people out your business. You know, it ain't good all the time to run to your girlfriends, and I've learned that, and say, girl, he did this, and girl, he did that, because they're going to get jealous and find a way to twist it.
Right. And all these women that's out here telling everybody what their man do to them, you just giving your man away, basically. So just know that.
But
I
she
mean,
will, because she will, the woman cheater, come in your back door and take him.
Well, I want to see if he really can do all this.
But,
you know,
the thing is, if you taking care of your man, they can mm-hmm. jump, they can sneak through the doggy door, they can jump
you
over the
back. You ain't
even
got to worry about
them. Thank you.
Yep. You ain't got to worry about
I understand. But the point is you don't need to be telling your business like we said earlier. Why you got to
right.
tell it? If you getting it, enjoy it. Why you got to let everybody know what's going on
right.
in your house?
Right, right.
Because
you know,
people
so
like to
work
on
that. I guess.
I agree.
You know,
okay,
it's a two-way street.
It is, and it's on both sides, but I'm glad that you said, and I've heard other women say this too, the thing with the Steve Harvey book, and it's going to be a movie. It's probably coming out here in the next month, I think. But you know how he took this thing, and I ain't mad at him for writing it, and it's out there, and he's big enough to get it out there big like it is. But the thing is what he really was telling people was mostly a lot of common sense, and really wasn't really true to a point.
Right.
So can you kind of elaborate on what you were saying on that earlier? Not trying to dog him out. We just were trying to get.
Well, no, I'm not
out.
Trying to dog him out, but I just feel a man can't really tell you what a woman wants, and you can't tell me to think like a man. I can't think like a man to get a man. I got to think like a woman to do what I need to do as a woman to get a man.
There you
right.
go.
I agree, man.
And you know, and like I said, he got two books now. He's done that. Part two came out, and you know, I mean, he's got the money to get this thing on the New York Times bestseller list and all that and everything. So I mean, and now
it's just a code. It's just
well, if you got the money, you can get on the bestseller list.
Yeah,
I mean, it ain't hard.
That is very true, and we talk about it all the time. All you got to do is go to a store that feeds into that and buy so many books, and you can get on
it. You can just do a large run at the beginning, and there you go.
Yeah.
There you go, absolutely.
Your notoriety and your publicity will get you the sales, because the thing is people want to hear about scams, but they want to hear about your bad luck. They want to hear that you're human. So, you know, people line up in mass to read a story, especially like a Kim Kardashian type story. I know people can't stand her ass, but let her come out with a book. It'd be millions of people in line to buy it.
Right, just like the video vixen. Her book sold because people wanted to hear trash. And my thing about
her. We want to talk about her? Oh, my God.
My thing about Steve Harvey is, you know, he's downing women in his books. And I don't believe in downing a man or a woman. We need to lift each other up. It's time to stop the bullshit and quit downing each other. We need to bring each other up.
You know, and I'm not trying to dog it, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. You write a book about women and how to treat how a woman should be. You know, but you out here, you done been married 3 times, so I have too. So my thing is, you know, how are you gonna do that? How are you gonna tell somebody about that shit when you can't even get it right yourself?
Right. Right.
Well, I wouldn't know because I didn't bother reading the book since it was written by a man.
You did what?
I didn't bother reading the book since it was written by a man. So
he can't tell me
how to be a woman. So I didn't bother reading the book. So I don't know what he said in there. I just left it at
the first.
Well, he didn't really
write
the book anyway.
Because I just feel like he can't tell you to think like a man. If you go out here, if these women go out here thinking like a man, they're gonna mess up and get them nothing.
And you treat it like a man.
Right.
But
I have to agree there.
That amazes me. That's like a Lothario writing a book on fidelity. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? I can't get that. You know, I just can't. You know, how are you going to tell me how to maintain a relationship and you couldn't maintain your own?
Your three. Right.
So, I mean,
and that's what I'm saying. His ex-wife, that, matter of fact, you know, let's just be honest. Okay, he left the last wife to be with the wife he's with now, and he's writing a book about all this stuff. Okay, so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just like me writing a book about being in marriage and shit, and I've been married 3 times and divorced all 3 wives. So, I mean, how can I do that?
That's like you how to maintain a marriage, and you've been divorced 3 times.
Right.
You can write a book on how to keep on.
You can write a book on how to get married, because, you know, you're a professional. You know,
But how to stay in a marriage? Shit.
And
nobody
can say
that. But it's just me. I mean, I'm talking about myself now. I ain't talking about nobody else but me. Yeah, I was in 3 marriages, and I came to the realization that all 3 divorces was by me. I'm the one that filed for them. So I'm like, it must be me. So I'm not going to write no book on that shit. Maybe I can write a book on how to be married for a few days and then get divorced. I can probably do that.
We can write that one together.
Yeah. And I have no problem with that if we want to do that. But the thing is, you know, I mean, and like I said, nobody's trying to dog Steve Harvey. And then we're just talking what's really real. You know,
up on his radio show getting cussed out.
Yeah, well, you know.
He did
for that. But anyway, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's just what it is. And relationships are what they are. And like you said, I agree with you. Samantha, on the part about you saying if you're going to be down low, you know, if you want to be with somebody of your same sex or whatever, don't cheat the person that you're trying to be right with because you don't want nobody to talk about you, because that's what it boils down to. They don't want the humiliation, but they want to live that life. And then they don't want to admit that they're that way. At least the men on that side, I guess the women too, they don't want to admit that they like that or they're gay. So they want to say, I'm not gay, I just like to do this every now and then or whatever, or whatever the case. I mean, so... But I agree with you that if you're going to do it, don't cheat the other person by doing that. Just be yourself and do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in the military for 22 years. I retired out of the Army myself. So, and now it's open where people can be gay in the military. But before it was so much of this where they had to keep it quiet because if you said anything about it, you get thrown out of the military. And it was a lot of good people who, just because they happened to be gay, had to get out because of, you know, I mean, they were really good soldiers, but they had to get out because of that. So, I mean, now, I mean, I think that you should just be who you are. Mm-hmm. If that's you, fine. But you ain't got to force it on me. I mean, not saying, you know, like when the ones that's flamboyant and they all out here, hey, and all this stuff. You know, a lot of gay people say that's overdoing it. Anyway, so my thing is, be who you are, but you ain't got to force me to see that you that.
Right. I agree.
So, you know, I don't know. But I don't know. So when is your next book coming out? You said I got to get the first one.
My next book will be out on May the 1st. The release is May the 1st, but I'm doing a big release party here probably Mother's Day weekend. I will be in Maryland for the people in Maryland at the Black Expo for authors.
Okay.
I will be there in August, and I will start the big release from there, and I'll be in New York in July.
Okay.
So I'll be traveling around with the new book, making it do what it do. But the book, The Woman Cheetah, came out in 2010, What She Won't Tell You, I Will. And then this one will be out around May
1st. So, Amiga, when are you going to do some more erotica?
I'm actually working on another erotic book now, but I started back up. My book tour and actually starts back up this weekend, but I'm actually working on domestic seduction right now. And
wow.
What happens in Vegas should have stayed there.
You know, I'm going to tell you, Amiga is real sexual, man. Her books, man, she be fucking through the love with her shit. But anyway, I just, you know, and I can imagine talking to Samantha now. I know there's got to be some situations in her book that's probably deep. I don't know how deep you get into the erotic piece of it, but is there a lot of deep erotica in your book? I mean, even though it may not be labeled erotica, is there a lot of sexual stimulation in the book that will get you to that point?
No. My book, I'm not an erotica writer. I'm more of a straight talker. Most of my radio
interviews. So you don't even get into it a little bit? I mean, I'm not saying you was an erotic writer, but I mean, but you don't even get into, like if there's a situation, a sexual scene or something where they kind of, you know, nothing like that?
Nope. I don't.
Yeah. that's what I'm asking, and you're giving me the answer. That's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't. Basically, my book... My first book is basically just wanting a lot of, I just basically wanted women to stop putting blame on a man for everything.
So is it considered a self-help genre, or what is it considered? Is it contemporary fiction, or?
Everybody, it's a fiction book, but I'm using situations.
Real situations.
Right.
With fictitious characters, I got you.
Right, and I had to do that because a lot of the stuff I wrote is real stuff.
Okay, so now you know what the next question is, and you get this question all the time, I'm sure, at book signings. How much of this is about you?
Well, and that's when I open up with a lot of talks. I talk about myself first, because you would say two or three of the characters are me. I think it's three characters that are me in this first book, and the second book is only one character that's me. And and I tell people who it is. It's the wifey, the independent woman, in the international woman. And I'm those
are
characters. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm those.
So, Mika, how much is you in your books? Because I know you, when you get freaky, you get freaky. So how much is you?
I told it up in Single Black and Government Owned. I put a little secret out there. So it's a lot of me. I mean, you have to know something in order to write the stuff.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know something? I'm going to have to get your books because you... I'm intrigued. I'm gonna have to get that, especially the one about the soldier piece and all that, because you know I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know I wanna get that, because I'm gonna be in Amsterdam and shit. Anyway,
memoirs. I don't get into erotica in my memoirs. I just tell them to reference the book, my other books, if they want
to reference
the erotic books.
So if they want to know about you, they got to go to your other books to read about you as in the sexual sense.
I mean, they can assume some of that's in me. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old. I've seen some things. I've been in the military, seen a whole bunch of things. You know, been there, done there. I'm not a scary person, and I'm nosy. I'm not scared to go to a strip club. I'm not scared to do any of that and look and see and observe. I'm nosy.
Well, damn. Okay. But what's age got to do with that, though? I mean, you've been around, like you said, but I mean, yeah, okay. I'm cool. All right. So, I'm interested, really, definitely, to get these new books that y'all have. And, you know, before we get any further in this interview, because we got about 30 minutes, I want to give you both a chance to tell people, like you said, you kind of went a little bit over, Samantha, where you're going to be and stuff, but tell people how, if they want to get you to come in and do a book signing or how they can get your books and all that. You know, go ahead and do that real quick before we get
well,
any further.
Well, I'm with an agent, A-List. And if you want to contact the A-List, you can definitely contact them, and they will be able to book me for you. And the name of the company is the A-List. And
yeah, that
sounds kind of
funny the way you said that. The way you said that was like, damn, like I'm getting you to do a strip show or something.
Yeah. when you leave, you might
sound like,
you
like if I want you to come do a private show, then you need to get booked through the A-List. No, I'm just, okay. That's what it kind of sounds like. Okay.
Yep, the A-List. And you can contact me through the A-List. I can give you that number. You can reach me at thewomancheetah@gmail.com.
The Woman Cheetah at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow me on Facebook, Office Samantha Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me up on Facebook, and I always respond to my Facebooks because I carry all that with me all the time. But
know,
if you would like to...
She talked to me today. Am I still on your damn show today or what?
I had to find out.
You
know, what is wrong?
You
are.
Well, I'm glad you did, because sometimes I contact folks and I give them a reminder, but sometimes they don't see it. So I'm glad you did that. And Amiga did the same thing. So, Amiga, how can they get your books and contact you for books?
Well, I'm on book 9. They're all over Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. But if you want me to come out, you can contact me directly off my website, because along with being an author, I'm also a publicist, and that's O-K-E-Y-S, O-K-E-Y-S.com.
Okay.
And I was going to give you the number for the A-List. I didn't give it to you. I'm being slow right here. But that number is 301-803-9409.
Okay.
And I was going to add, I'm on Facebook, but if you want to contact me on Facebook and ask me questions, it's under Author OMG. However, please do not send me those little freaky messages.
And them games.
You can't expect me to respond. Leave those alone. I would not add you.
So I can't send you no freaky message tomorrow?
No, I will delete you.
You'll delete me? Don't delete me on me. Come on, man.
No,
I remember.
No.
I got your phone number anyway. I can just call you.
You gonna
I ain't
going to
get a freaky message. I'll just call. No, I'm just playing. I ain't going to do that. I've had her number for a while, but I don't just do stuff like that. See, I'm a gentleman, too. I might be a freak, but I'm a gentleman.
Oh, let me clarify. Now, if you have a question for me and I can help you resolve some stuff, by all means, ask me that. But as far as what I can do to you, that's what I'm talking about. Let's nix that stuff.
Okay. Are you talking that to me straight, or are you talking about everybody
else?
No,
just in general and you. But no.
I ain't going to disrespect you. Come on now. But anyway, I got you. I understand. Yeah, it's all good. But DV, I mean, I wish you had those questions that you normally used to have. You know what I'm saying? Those erotic
questions.
Yeah,
I know. Like, you know what? I'm gonna start them back up next week, because you know I'm
kind of
missing.
Yeah, we want to definitely get them back. But see, next week we got Anna Black and I think we got Katie Harris is gonna be on, and I forget who the third person is.
Oh, that's cool, because I'm gonna harass Anna this weekend.
Okay, well, good. That's good. But see, normally he asks questions if there's like different things like what position you like and all this shit. But I guess he don't have that this week. So,
you guys, like,
I understand that. I mean, I'm back in the workforce, too, after 6 months of not being it. You know, I'm back, so I'm kind of glad about that. So, you know, a little bit, I ain't out there on the soup kitchen no more, and out there with a little cup and with a little monkey and all this out here playing, you know, trying to get some money. So, I'm doing all right now. So, you know, it was a little rough there for a minute. So, but we got that. So, ladies, what else do y'all have for us? Y'all got anything else y'all want to say?
Tell y'all to visit a magazine I write for every week. It's called Samantha's Juice, and it's at www.millmag.org.
Okay,
so
is that
feel...
your own magazine? I guess it is, Samantha's Juice.
Nope.
Tell us about that.
It's Millennium Mag. Millennium Magazine is actually a Christian-based magazine, but they wanted to spice it up a little bit, so they asked me to come in and talk about love and relationships. And
so, I thought you were writing some Christian fiction.
No, I actually talk straight talk topics. Like this week, my topic was being in love versus I love you.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say something like, "Should I be able to suck his dick or not?"
No,
shit like
I don't
that.
Get like that.
I know I'll be dogging Christian fiction. I'm sorry. Please, Christian fiction authors and everybody. I am not, I'm just playing. I like what y'all do. It's a good genre. It's nothing wrong with it. I just be playing because some of the people that read it is the ones that I'm getting on. It ain't the people that write it. It's the people that read it that try to act like they all this holier than thou, and they really read,
mm-hmm.
you know, masturbating
mm-hmm.
and all this shit, and they try to act like they ain't doing it. That's who I'm on. It ain't the authors. It's the people that's out here trying to act like, I'm reading this because it's okay, you know. But, you know, they
well, that's why
anyway.
I think the person that owns the magazine wanted something realistic, because right now, I mean, I don't know about in other areas, but I know in the South they're getting very open-minded to different things. And this was one of the things was getting in deep in about relationships. And I talk about every aspect of the relationship, even sex
right.
in the relationship. So definitely visit the magazine at www.millmag.com. And I do an article in there weekly as well. And you can
okay.
also get the books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million.
Okay. All right, well. I know Amiga got something else you got to say.
What? Right now, like I said, I'm starting up my book tour, and you know I go for a year strong, but in between helping other authors promote their work, I have the Not So Common Sense Guide for Authors that will be out next month, along with Single Black and Government Owned, and I'm all for helping people to help themselves. You know, everybody, a lot of people want to self-publish, but they need to know exactly what they're doing. I'm so sick of people just slapping books together, calling it a book and trying to sell it. So
right.
They need a little bit of guidance to get them in the right direction. There's nothing wrong with it. Just my thing is, if you're gonna do it right. Like my big mama, she just passed away. Like she used to always say, if you're gonna do it right the first time.
Right, right. I got you. I understand that. DV is an advocate of that. He can go crazy for the next 30 minutes talking about publishing and if you're gonna do it, what you should do and all that. I know. And
yeah,
he wanted to get on
the
soapbox.
I've been in before. We had a long conversation over it before.
I bet you have. I don't know if I want him to get on that soapbox right now, but I'll tell you what, I'm sure he's ready to jump on.
Oh, no,
where
like,
you at, DV? I know you're there.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Like I sent you a message. Like I got a family issue to take care of right now. So like
okay.
I sent it to your phone because I, you know, I didn't want to
okay.
interrupt the show, but
I got
like I got a family issue I got to take care of real quick.
All right, brother. Well, go ahead. We got 30 minutes left, so by the time you get done, we'll probably be over. But we appreciate you coming on, and go take care of your business.
All right, mate. All right, ladies.
Okay. So I get 30 minutes with these women. Ooh, I get 30 minutes with y'all by myself. Damn. Like normally, like I said, we usually have a panel that's on the show, but the two ladies that normally are on, I think Ms. Cotton, I don't know if you heard of her, the spoken word poet, she's usually on here, but I think she was down at the Word on the Streets conference this weekend, so I'm sure she wasn't. And Carmen, the Trashy Diva Jones, usually is on here, but I think that she wasn't feeling well because, you know, she has, sometimes she doesn't feel well, so she probably wasn't on tonight. But I appreciate y'all coming on talking to me because we got 29 minutes, so if y'all got questions of me or anything you want to ask me, let me be the one this time. On what y'all might have, because, you know, I mean, I'm always interviewing folks and stuff like that, so we're going to give you an opportunity to ask questions of me, if you have any. You may not. If you don't, then you're not interested. I got that, too.
So, Mr. Red Snapper, is there a reason why you have been married and divorced 3 times?
What is the reason I've been married and divorced 3 times? You know what I think? Okay, and I'm going to be honest. I think that when I got married the first time, I was very young. I was 20 years old, and I grew up in a time where when you grew up, you got out of high school, you got married, the picket fence and all that was there. So I was in the military, and I married, but I don't think I was ready. And I think that I just didn't give myself a chance. When I was married the first time, I got out of a marriage and rebounded to a second one. And then I didn't give myself a chance to get myself to see who I was as a person, so I ended up rebounding on third. So I think that's what that was all about. I think that that's what put me in that situation. And now I'm at the point where I think I need to find out who I really am. Even though I write and all that stuff, there's a lot of things I need to find out in myself and do some things for me. So that's, I think that was it. You know, I had four children out of two marriages, two from each one of the first two. And you know, it was nothing wrong with it. It was great times, and it was bad times as well, like in anything. But I think that I just need to really take time out for myself and learn me and do things for me before I try to get into something deep as far as marriage goes. You know, if I can find somebody that wants to hang out and we have fun together and do some stuff, that's fine. But a lot of times people say they want to do those things, and then they get feelings in it, and then they don't, you know, they can't do that again, you know, as they said before. So that's probably why I went through that. So I don't know.
Okay.
So that was that. Did that answer your question? I think Samantha dropped off.
No, I'm here.
Gone, but, oh, are you still here? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody dropped off. Oh, that was DV. Okay. So mm-hmm. So any other questions? Like, how do I get into writing and all that? Well, go ahead and ask whatever.
I guess since my book is Single, Black, and Government-Owned, and you used to be in the Army as well, my question would be, do you think that the military plays a big part in relationships failing?
I think so. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times people, you know, because you get to move around so much and you get to see other things, depending on how strong you are as a person, you know, and in the relationships that you get into, unless that person that you're with is strong enough to know that you're going to be out in the field, you're going to be doing things out with maneuvers, and you're going to go places sometimes that they're not going to be able to go, you know, it takes a lot. And that's in any relationship. You got to be strong, and it's a lot of compromising. But I think the military is a little harder, especially now, today's military, with all the deployments going over to Afghanistan and all these places and different things that's going on. I think it really is a strain. You have to be a real strong person to be in a relationship, even if it's two soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, that are married. You really have to. You really have to be very strong with each other and understand that this is it, and no matter what happens, that you're gonna stay strong and be together, because it's just the way it is. I mean, when I was in the Army in the 80s and 90s, a lot of it was you could get these assignments together and stuff like that. You can work together and do stuff. And it wasn't a lot of deployments until the later part of the years that I was in with Iraq and all that stuff. But before, it wasn't that way. This is a whole different entity. So I think relationships really strain a lot. A lot of times the stuff that you hear now that's happening in relationships used to only happen to special forces people or rangers or something like that, special
right.
MOS jobs. But now that because the mission has changed so much and we became what I call the world's police, It's just terrible on families. And then you have a lot of soldiers that are reservists that are coming in now, so they're losing jobs when they get deployed. Well, they're not anymore, but in the beginning they were losing jobs and stuff because they weren't around. A lot of strain on marriages. You know, things that was going on, women, you know, couldn't take that the man was gone all this time or vice versa or whatever. You know, just a lot of stuff going on, you know. And I think it's very strenuous. Yes.
I was going to ask because I did a book signing on a military base last year. And
uh-huh.
With this book, it kind of upset a lot of women because they didn't want their husbands reading this book.
What base was it? If you don't mind,
it was
yeah.
in North Carolina.
Fort Bragg?
Yes.
Fayetteville? Yes. I retired from there, actually. Okay.
And a lot of women was like, don't pick. I know a lot of women were saying, don't pick up that book. Don't pick up that book. And
well,
I think
know,
a lot
it's funny that you said that because that base is probably the base that deploys more than me. The only other base I know that would deploy more or close to it would be Fort Hood, Texas, because that's the biggest Army base in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is a lot of soldiers there get deployed, and they're always going or doing something because it's Special Forces mission and all the different missions that's at Fort Bragg. So
mm-hmm.
I can see why they don't want the man to take the book, because they're finding out about what their wives are doing while they're gone.
Right. And,
yeah.
and I found that out, too, even you know, for my son going in the military, and when he went in, his girlfriend cheated on him, and he was like, "Ma, you wrote this book at the right time," because he was real serious, and I was like, "Well, at your age, you're a little too serious with this chick," but he found out for himself. You have to find out for yourself at a young age what you're dealing with. But a lot of men there were saying, a couple of men even wrote me, emailed me later and said, "You know what, I think my wife was cheating on me while I was overseas." And I find that a lot with a lot of men in the military. It's like these women can't be real or can't save themselves. So them husbands come back. They don't know if their husbands are coming back or when their husbands are coming back, and they don't want to commit that, fall in that full commitment because they're not there.
Well, you know, it goes a lot of us women that get deployed too.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes
both ways.
It goes both ways.
Right.
It
goes
what happens is when you get up overseas, sometimes, not saying that that was me, but when you when I've seen a lot of people, once they get overseas, sometimes it's like that other bond that nobody else is going through, they end up having relationships overseas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's
and then,
true.
You know, trying to come home, and then their home life, the person that they're with can't understand anything that they're going through unless they're in the military themselves.
Well, I met one girl that I interviewed, and her husband was overseas with a whole family while she was here with her family, you know,
right.
And he was leading a double life, and then he was, like, always on the go. And the reason why he was always on the go, because he was trying to juggle two families. So,
right.
I mean, and that goes both ways, like you said, with women and men. But I just find out more so women and dealing with their husbands in the military, they're not willing to stand by and say, you know, I'm going
to
be faithful.
Well, you know, it
but
used to be
I've
the Navy wife.
Some,
it used to be the Navy wife that went through a lot of that because their men were always deployed more and stuff. But now, like I said, with the new mission that's going on now, and we're everywhere all over the world doing things that we probably shouldn't be doing, but we are. Anyway, you know, it's just it's hard on marriages. And like you said, I've seen situations when I was in the military where people actually where there was two soldiers that wanted to be together, and they would actually put themselves on orders to go to a certain place, like, say, a Korea, and spend that year together or whatever so that they can actually be a couple and be all right with it. Even though they still were sneaking, it was a thing that they could do and not be around their other spouse. So, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just, it's terrible, but that's what goes on. And it's more now because of the situation with deployments, and soldiers are being deployed 4 and 5 times. I've been over in Afghanistan several times and Iraq and all this because the mission is just not enough people, and it's got to pay a toll somewhere. So the wives are going to go out and do what they do, and the husband.
Some people just prefer to be there than to be at home. So a lot of people
right.
go 4 and 5 times is because they want to go 4 and 5 times. I
absolutely.
Worked at a demobilization state. And it was more women because I hate to say it, but when you get overseas and you're in the military, you turn into, you know, they call them the Afghan queens because you're a beauty queen.
Man.
You're American and you get up over there, you turn into a beauty queen. But then you come back to the States, you're a nobody again because everybody wants you when you're overseas.
Yep, we used to call Korea Fantasy Island because you can go over there and be whatever you want to over there. And live that fantasy for a year. And then when you have to go back to the plane, you got to get back on that sucker to go back to the States. But, you know, it was just, I mean, it's just like that. I mean, and it's like I said, it's more prevalent now because of the mission, but it was always going on in the military. It's always been like that. It's just that because the mission is more, people are more deploying more, it just seems like it's more infidelity or whatever you want to call it going on.
Well, I have a question
that
was brought to me.
It's a mission and technology.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again.
I'm sorry.
What did you say, Amiga?
It's a mission and technology.
Oh, because of technology?
I said it's the mission and it's the technology that just makes it easier for people to do whatever they're going to
okay.
do by their way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So what was your question?
Well, I was brought to my attention. My man is retired military of 26 years. And he says, is it when you're in the military, your mind is not on here and now, not when you until you get home. So when you're away, you're not dealing with that here and, you know, you're dealing with here and now.
Yeah,
not
you don't know if you're
going to
make it to the next day.
Right.
And that doesn't make it right, but you just don't know. You want to live your life. It goes back to living your life. You know, you don't know if you're going to see them people again. You love them. And a lot of times, like I said, you know, it doesn't mean you don't love the person that just because you're cheating on them. It just means that you just want something different, or it just happened to be whatever the situation is. You know, especially for men. I know women, like you said, women do it for a reason or whatever, but I think, you know, and y'all women, you know better than I. I just think that sometimes some women just do it because they just want to, just like men. It's not always
got to be. It is some women that do it just because they want to.
Right.
Right.
It's women that do it just that reason, because they want
right.
to or they feel like it at that time. But I think, too, it's a thing about, and I just wrote an article about that this week. A lot of times people get married, especially military people, not because they're in love. It's I love you. I care so much about you. I want you here waiting on me when I get back, so let's get married.
Right.
That's the reason why a lot of times marriages will fail and relationships fail, is because you're in love with that person. Not in love with that person, but you love that person. You want to be with that person. You say, well, you know, I want to see where this goes, but I need you to wait for me. So they put a ring on you.
Right. Go ahead.
Because I worked at the mobilization and demobilization site, I used to laugh sometimes, you know, when people are turning in their records and you see that they just got married
mm-hmm.
right before the deployment. And it's always the young soldier. It's never the seasoned soldier
mm-hmm.
that does this.
It's always the young
soldier. You know, we take a bet, you know, by the time the deployment is over, because, you know, we see them coming and going, they'll be divorced before they come back.
Right.
We take a bet on that, because it's like, that's crazy. I mean, a lot of them, they get the wives clean them out. They leave, you know, their power of attorney, and them, the people lose their mind. They cheating on them and robbing them.
They come back,
blind.
They broke. They come
mm-hmm.
back, they broke.
Yep.
Because they didn't spend all their money while they were over there.
Yeah.
And we see that a lot, especially in Korea, Germany too, but in Korea, a lot of these soldiers be new and they come in and have these bonuses and they come back and they have someone that they've married, and then they wonder why that person has cleaned them out. You know, it's just like you said, it's just that feeling, that right here and now feeling. It goes that way with that as well, the here and now. Okay, I got to be with this person now because I'm married. I got to have it now, and I don't know if I'm going to get it, if I'm going to come back. Then they find out they come back, they really wasn't really in love with that person. They just loved them for that
they
moment.
They loved them enough for the moment.
And now they're back,
military.
And they got to deal with it.
That's
right.
Not just military.
Huh?
I think in a lot
no,
of marriages, I know I've been married twice. I've been engaged about probably six times.
Okay.
And a lot of times I look back, you know, I look back for myself and I said, you know, I wasn't really in love with these people. I just loved them at that moment. I just wanted to be with them at that time.
And maybe that's what I was going through.
Yeah. And a lot of people go through that.
Until you grow
or fully understand who you really are, it happens a lot. Because sometimes we get another person in our lives to validate us.
Right.
I don't know.
I've
been married twice and divorced twice. My first marriage, I got married strictly for the sole purpose that I was a single parent in the military, and I wanted to maintain my active duty orders because, you know, it came down to me getting another set of full-time orders, but me being a single parent, they were looking like, well, I wasn't going to perform my function, so I hurried up and found me somebody to marry the first time. I was like, hey,
you
want to get married?
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. And we knew that that's all it was, but as soon as that ring went on my finger, something clicked off in his head that felt like he had the right to have what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I
wow.
had to remind him that this was just
I can get
project.
On that topic.
It was a contract marriage, but he wanted more.
Paper,
he
yeah.
felt like it wasn't a contract anymore. It was more of I'm getting part of your stuff.
I'm
yeah,
gonna have.
That's what he felt. But you know, just as quickly as we got married, I can quickly divorce you because I got what I needed now.
That's right.
Right. So my right. thing was did you consummate the marriage, or was it just contracted, strictly contractual?
It was strictly contract because, I mean, he didn't say he was gay or bisexual, but that's all he hung around. So that's why I chose him.
Okay, I see. Well, that wasn't working for me because we was
on
fuck.
My goal was, when I was in my military zone, I was in my zone. I'm trying to ignore you. But
I know. She's trying to play me, but that's okay. But, you know, you got to do what's right, though. I mean, you did what you had to do, and you knew that guy wasn't going to try to jump you like that. But then he thought he could get something else from you.
Yeah,
money
he
or whatever.
While I was at training, he thought he can pull one of the moves that, oh, she's not, you know, because there's a lot of people, they get mad, they get vindictive, and they want to make them phone calls to your commander. You know
right,
the people that
right.
do it, those phone calls,
right.
they call them on the carpet. He wanted to do that.
Right.
and try to oust me. And I was like, you know, well, he doesn't even have my children, so what do you mean I'm not taking care of my family? He's not even a person that has my children.
Wow.
So
why did you have to get married? I don't understand. So what was the marriage for?
So I can get off of just being on those full-time orders. I wanted to be straight active duty.
Oh, I see.
And
okay, so you had to be married to do that.
You know a single person cannot be active duty.
Absolutely.
Unless they give up. You know the game. Don't
unless they give up the child or something.
Show up
right.
In the military that when they sign up they don't have kids, but then a year later they got a 5-year-old child.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because when you sign up,
I would not deny my children to be in the military.
Right. I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
let me ask a question. Was it hard for either one of you to go overseas for a year and then come home and jump straight into a relationship?
Oh, you mean like, okay, Amiga, you answer first. Then. Okay.
No, I'm just saying to jump into anything that I've done outside. Okay, well, I had more problems when I went to try to progress in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, be a higher ranking. I had more problems with that going to training than anything else when trying to deal with people because they don't understand, like, when you're in that training mode that you can't be on the phone, you can't do this, you can't do that. That was much harder for me. But it also makes you forget the real world. So when I came back, I forgot that, yeah, there are some shady men out there. Yeah, there are some dudes that are on drugs, and, you know, you don't know that they on drugs, and they're going to try to tell you. You know, you get blindsided because you be around so many military people, and, you know, everybody military, you know, is normally cool. You normally feel safe and secure. So, to me, it kind of strips your street smarts away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you come home all wild-eyed.
So when you come back from overseas, did you jump into relationships or did you kind of lay off or dealt with other people in the military besides dealing with civilians?
No, I went into a relationship. That's what I'm saying. I went into a relationship and I was, like, dumbfounded because I forgot what the real world was like.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I jumped head first into a relationship and it was like, oh, my goodness, this man is crazy. I didn't see crazy coming because I forgot crazy existed.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't military. I'm ex-law enforcement, retired out of, 13 years of law enforcement. And I found, you know, I jumped into a relationship, my first relationship, because I was like, okay, I'm 35 and I'm not married yet.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get, and he was military. And I jumped into that relationship, stayed married 9 months. And I'm like, wow, you know. And it was hard for him coming from Desert Storm and getting into this relationship because his thing was he needed some woman just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, we don't really know how to relate to people that are not in the military sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, my problem was the whole time I was in the military, I was married to the first two wives. So the first part, I was married. And like I said, I wasn't even divorced 2 or 3 months before I was married to the second woman. You know, so it was like a replacement. So, you know, I was replacing one for the other. And most of that time I was in, it was just like, and they were both civilians. They weren't in the military. So it was just dealing with that. But I think, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I would have married somebody in the military, would it have been different? Maybe not. It just depends. But the thing is I didn't give myself a chance to be a man and just be on my own, because I thought, like I said, growing up the way I did and in the time that I did in the 60s and 70s, thinking that I had to be with somebody because that's what they did back then. They got married, the picket fence and all that, you know, it was just like, you know, and back then people stayed together, whether they cared about each other or not or whatever, if you played around or whatever you did, they stayed. But see, that wasn't the case. So, you know, I guess I just done it for a while until I got tired of doing it, and then I just let it, you know, just got out of it. And then, but like I said, I jumped into something else. So was I in love with the ceremony or what? I don't know. Or I just didn't want a shack. I just wanted to be married, you know.
Have both of y'all ever thought about being in a pity marriage or a charity marriage? And what I mean by that, my second marriage was pity marriage. And what pity marriage is or a charity case marriage is, you feel so sorry for that person and you're thinking you can help change them from what they're dealing with. I'll be open. I married a sex offender because I felt sorry for him of the situation he was going through, and, you know, I thought he got a raw deal and blah, 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 blah. And then after being married 6 years, I'm like, wow, this was truly a stupid move, you know, after
dealing
with
his
self-low self-esteem.
So did he really do it, or
well,
what made you think
and
it was a fool?
Well, being married to him for six years, it was supposedly his daughter that he had custody of his daughter. And then when we came back to find out, she finally told me that it happened, and he said it didn't, and they didn't have evidence, but he took a plea. And then years passed, she's older, he's older, and it's like, that's my daddy now. So, you know, I'm really not real sure after 6 years because it was so confusing about these relationships with his children. But what
right.
I did notice, he had a sex addiction problem. And it wasn't just sexual in the bedroom. It was he cheated a lot because I was on the road a lot promoting the first book, and I was working in my salon and running my makeup company. And I'm a hustler. I believe in working, and I'm a hustler, and I do a lot of different things.
Wow, this is recent?
Yeah, this was in the last 2 years. It's been two years
okay.
ago. And the book first came out, and he was like, oh, I don't want to live in your shadow and whining like a bitch. But, you know, at the end of the day, I realized he had a problem, you know, and
right.
not only – so it could have been a true thing for him. But
right.
a lot of people get married out of feeling sorry for a person. They get close to a person. They care about a person. They want to deal with that person. But then when they get into their real lives and really what they're dealing with, it was a hard situation for me being a single parent and having a son to have to go through that with him for 6 years and also
wow.
deal with his children as well.
Yeah.
I'm in my 30s, and everybody says that this guy is a good
yeah.
guy since we're together, and so we might as well just go ahead and marry each other,
mm-hmm.
and that
right.
wasn't fair. I mean, I loved him, but I didn't.
You weren't in love with him.
Yeah. I
yeah.
should have told him more about my passions and my dreams and stuff like that, because, yes, I was still in the military. He was in the military, but my passion was always to be, you know, the author side of me was always there.
Right.
And then when I started writing the erotica, he was embarrassed about me writing the erotica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are
right.
you writing?
And then you want to know, how'd you learn this shit? No,
right.
Like, where'd
right.
you get this
they get
from?
Jealous.
Yeah, I know.
But
I went through
jealous.
All that.
Yeah, he didn't like, you know, the book festivals. He was like my, he was, instead of helping me, he was more like, you know, being there like he was a bodyguard. And it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
go away. I'm trying to sell books, dude. Go over there. Go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my last,
and that's because they lose their self-esteem and to the fact that they think
right.
you're doing more than what and forgetting
yeah.
about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, my last was going around telling people, don't buy my books because, you know, I'm degrading women and all this stuff, you know. So, yeah, I understand.
Well, I think that's jealousy, though. A
right,
lot,
right.
you know, and
some people
I tell
can't
anybody.
Handle the change either.
Right.
They want you to be where you were and don't want ever want you to progress.
Move.
Some people are exactly happy, you know, where they are, and they
right.
can't see past that. So when you start changing, they don't see it as a good thing for us. They see it as, oh, you're taking off and you're leaving me behind. Not
well, that
right.
works together. In any career move, military, like. And my question to both of you, do you still use the military as a comfort zone? Because me, even though I haven't been law enforcement in years, I still use that as a comfort zone sometimes and relate to people better into that law enforcement field that I still keep in touch with. Because when you deal with what you're dealing with in any relationship we've had in our past, and then you're progressing and moving to another direction in your career, you have to have somebody that's strong and behind you or don't have anybody at all in order to move forward.
Yeah,
well,
I would say.
I just got out, so I'm still, you know, I'm going through my military detox right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I've been out over 11 years. I've been out over 11 years now, but I still work for the military. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a contractor for out here at Fort Leavenworth. So, I mean, I'm still working around soldiers and stuff and all that. So, I guess that's a comfort zone. But as far as relationships, I mean, I don't mess with any soldiers or anything. I haven't done that. But that's not saying that I wouldn't. But where I'm at, I don't know if I want to mess with any of them.
Look,
but anyway,
you're Leavenworth, you don't want nobody there.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
But you know something, ladies, I am so glad y'all came on the show, and I really appreciate y'all. Y'all know y'all welcome to come back anytime you want. You don't have to be invited.
Well, thank you.
If you just want to call in, you can do that. We got about 4 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all go. But before I do, I want y'all to go ahead and tell people real quick how they can get your books again one more time, and then we're going to go ahead and go.
Wait,
so,
you can get my book at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Books A Million. And you can also follow me on Facebook as author Samantha Joyner, or you can email me at thewomancheetah@gmail.com.
All right.
This is Omega, and you can get my book basically everywhere books are sold, up under O'Keefe or Omega if you're looking for the hot and spicy. And you can catch up with me at okeys.com or on Facebook and on Twitter up under Omega Keys as well.
All right. Well, ladies, we thank you again, like I said. And like I, you know, once you come on Word Sexy Radio, and Omega knows this, you are here for life, so you can always come back. If you just want to come promote something, you know, if you want to get back on and do another interview, feel free. Just let me know. We got you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for
having
me.
And it's nice talking to both of you and having me.
All right, no problem.
Bye-bye.
Good night.